and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I am so dedicated to bringing you relevant and important information in this time that we're experiencing. I'm very excited about my guest today. She is someone who does my favorite thing in the whole wide world, which is to find humor. So please help me welcome my guest today, Joanne Jarrett. How are you doing today?
Hi, Monica. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, I hope this is going to be just a really funny episode.
I hope so too. I'll try to deliver.
Okay. All right. Awesome. No pressure. So let's start by having you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, my husband and I just moved, and our daughters just moved from Reno, Nevada to rural Montana. So I am married to my husband for 22 years. We have a 14 and 16 year old daughters, and we actually convinced 7 other family members to move here. So we're here with my mom, my dad, 2 aunts, my sister, her husband, and their daughter. We all moved to Montana a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And we're loving it. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you have your own like little
commune or whatever. So most of us are on our 20 acres. We have 2 houses on the 20 acres, and then my sister's in town a little bit, but we're all rural and it's so much fun. I am a family physician by training. I'm on my 16th year of maternity leave, however, and I wear many hats. I designed a women's loungewear that has like a soft, cozy shelf bra in the top, and I'm getting that line off the ground. The manufacturing is occurring right now, although the factory is currently closed. So we're waiting on inventory. I blog at cozyclothesblog.com. I have a podcast called Fancy Free. And then every now and then I do chairside assist for my husband, who's a root canal specialist, which is like, when he first asked me to do that, I was like, I'm simultaneously over and underqualified for that. I have no clue how to do that, but I learned and he taught me, and it's actually really fun working with my husband. So that's me in a nutshell.
So do you ever think like all that schooling and all that medical training and you're just like designing loungewear?
Yeah, totally. But what my mother-in-law tells me all the time is, Joanne, it's not that you don't have a practice. You just have a really small concierge practice and no one pays you.
Yeah, so right?
I use my medical knowledge to help my family members navigate their medical situations. I've definitely, I think, identified a few things that would have slipped through the cracks, which makes me really proud. I treated patients probably 100 hours a week for 2 years while my husband was going through his training. I practiced as a family doctor. Then when we moved away from where he was doing his training, I had 2 babies rapid fire, and then I just never went back. And that was not the intention. The intention was that I was going to work part-time, that my mom would be our nanny, and that would be that. But I just never wanted to leave my kids, and I felt perfectly fulfilled. I never defined myself by my degree and my training. I felt like every single day, I want to make sure I live today like I want today to look. I don't want to live my life to justify my past. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's actually really interesting. I've run into several women who I trained with who say, gosh, if I didn't have all these loans to pay off, I would do it too. And I could say also that I guess maybe would eventually go back. And surely I have that in my back pocket. I would have to retrain a little bit because I am my own worst critic, and I never wanted to deliver anything less than perfect medical care, which of course is impossible. And that was really hard to resolve. And it was very, very anxiety provoking, but I did my very best at all times. So then I would bring my crappy leftovers home to my husband, which he was cool with. We were married 6 years before we had kids. But once I brought babies into the equation, I just thought, I just can't. I just have to be my best for them. And I don't have capacity for both. A lot of people, I think, do have capacity for both, but I don't.
I love that. Well, I love that you were so familiar with yourself that we were able to make that choice and not regret it. So I love everything about your story. But let's talk about your journey towards developing a passion for helping women share their underbellies. I love this about you.
Okay. Oh my gosh. It is so much fun. So the first thing that happened is after we moved to Montana, and one of my hobbies is clothes. I love clothes. I love fashion, not high fashion, casual clothes, but I just have so much fun with them. Well, I had gained a little bit of weight when we moved, and my mom had come over. She was in this cute swingy top, and she said, hey, Dillard's is having a 65% off sale. So I went over to Dillard's. I was looking through the rack, and I was looking for my size on the rack and realized, oh my gosh, there's that shirt mom was wearing. Holy cow. I'm about to try on a shirt that a 7-year-old would wear. I mean, my mom's super stylish and cute, but I'm like, I'm not ready. I cover my grays. I'm not ready to rock the silver fox thing. So I take a hard right back into the department where I think my style is. And I see this gorgeous dress. It's this ivory chiffon dress, and it has black embroidery and this deep V-neck, and it's short. And I know it's something my mom would never try on. So I whip it into the fitting room, and I wedge myself into it. I can tell it's a little bit too small, but I just want to kind of see what it's going to look like. And then I get stuck. I cannot get it off. And I kind of start to panic. And long story short, the clerk had to come into the dressing room with me. She's had to get me out of this dress. I thought we were maybe going to have to tear it off. She was so sweet. But, you know, I was kind of humiliated, but I was a little bit amused. And I considered maybe asking her, am I your first? Like, has this happened before? But then I was like, no, I can't. My fragile ego can't handle the answer right now. I just got to get out of here. Well, by the time I picked my daughter up from gymnastics, I was totally over it. And we were so amused. We were howling with laughter flying down the interstate. And so when I got home, well, the first thing I did is I went online to see if they had that dress in a bigger size, which they didn't. So I ended up ordering that dress, which is so crazy. So I paid shipping for a dress. Well, I'm like, no, this is a goal. I'm going to get into this dress and be able to wear it. It still doesn't fit, but I'll get there. But I wrote a story about it because I just thought it was so fun. Like, oh my gosh, you guys, you have to hear this. And I put it on my blog. And then, of course, I posted it over to Facebook too. And I got all this response on Facebook. Oh, that's totally happened to me. That's totally happened to me. And I thought, wait, why are we not telling each other these stories? Not only is that hilarious, but I would have felt so much less humiliated in that dressing room had I known that this was a common occurrence for my friends. So I wrote a story about how I think we should start sharing these moments with each other. And it kind of reminded me of a party I had gone to several years earlier where, okay, my girlfriend Karen had this party. She brought friends from all walks of life to this party. So we all knew Karen, but we didn't all know each other. And it was one of those parties where you steal gifts from each other. So everybody has a number and then you either take a gift or you steal a gift. But she added an element to it, which I think was so brilliant. She said, when your number comes up, stand up, introduce yourself, tell us how you know me, and then tell us your most embarrassing moment. I've never laughed harder at a party in my entire life. And I left that party feeling like I had 40 new girlfriends. Not that I had even spoken to most of the women at that party, but because we showed each other our underbellies, our most embarrassing stories, we were vulnerable. It was hilarious. It was so much fun. So one of the gals told this story about how she'd gone to Home Depot Commando in her soccer shorts and she had her toddler with her. And at one point her toddler pulled her shorts all the way down to the floor and she had to lean forward, bottom in the air, and pick these shorts back up. And then she was like, well, maybe nobody saw. So then she looked around and there was a Home Depot employee standing right behind her, man. So anyway, and that was one of multiple funny stories I heard that day. And it didn't just give me nuggets to bring back out when I needed to be cheered up and laugh about, which I'm still laughing about these stories years and years later. But also every time I saw that woman after this, I thought, there's my sister. I love her. I love that she was willing to tell that story. I feel like I know her better now. And I feel like she knows me better now to the point where whenever we saw each other in person, because most of the time it was like in the drop-off line at school, right? And we're waving enthusiastically at each other, whereas we barely knew each other before. If we would run into each other in person, we went deep right away. How are you? What's going on? You know, and it just felt like it was almost a fast forward to intimacy. And so I thought, I want to create a platform where women can share these funny, embarrassing stories. And I can show women that it is not just a superficial laugh we're getting here, but it's a depth of connection. And even like a lifeline, because you never know when telling someone else your embarrassing funny story might just change how they're feeling about themselves that day. And it might just be so important. So not only do we have a lot of fun and we do a lot of laughing on that on my show, but we also really always go deep. I always want to know what my guests are about and what their passions are and what message they're trying to get out into the world. So it's just been this huge gift and so much fun. So I'm sorry, that was a really long answer to a short question, but there you have it.
It wasn't. And it was beautiful. And as you were talking, I just realized like you have not abandoned the whole family physician thing. I feel like you're doing way more important work because they do say that laughter is the best medicine. And I mean, connecting women like this and bringing out that laughter and that intimacy and connection, I think is the most important thing you could be doing right now.
Oh, thank you,
Marla. really Monica. The world the way that it is. I mean, we need each other. We need laughter. We need to be able to share these vulnerabilities with each other. Yeah. I think it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. I feel like it's an avenue toward humility and shamelessness. And you're right. We need these deep connections. And by the way, if you have a medical question, I'll tell you if I don't know, or if I do know, I'll answer it for you. I'm not worried about that.
I love it.
I think you're right. I think I'm a caretaker at heart. And you know, the medical stuff was never, I mean, it always was fascinating to me because I am a science lover by nature. But the thing I loved so much about my job was taking care of people, learning their stories. My very favorite thing, it's just so interesting that you draw that parallel because I'd never thought about it. My very favorite thing when I was working was alleviating concern. When somebody would come in with a really scary symptom, they thought meant they might have a brain tumor or something. And I was able to say, this is your inner ear and this is how we're going to fix this. And just the look of relief on their face. And so I feel like alleviating psychological concern and angst is maybe part of what I'm doing. Yeah. So anyway, thank you for drawing that connection.
I think it's awesome. I think we just need to rebrand you right now. I'm ready to do this for you. Okay. So one of the things you talk about on your podcast so beautifully is you talk a lot about why we should be lowering the bar for each other and how to do it. So tell us what you mean by lowering the bar for each other.
Okay. I feel like we all curate our image that we put out there in a certain way. And I totally don't blame anybody for doing that. Like if my day happens to look like a photo shoot, you bet I'm going to put that up on social. I love beautiful photos. I love when I'm at my best, but that inadvertently sets this higher and higher standard for each other. And so I think what we need to do is grab that bar and bring it down when we can now and then for each other as a gift. So I don't mean that we should stop being successful in the things we choose to be passionate about. I don't mean that we should let ourselves go, but what I mean is that we should lower the bar in that we should remind each other that vulnerability is valuable. We should normalize imperfection for each other whenever we can. And we shouldn't just hide away our embarrassing stories or our foibles or our imperfections and be ashamed of them. We should show them to each other so that we can just give that gift to each other. So that's what I mean by lowering the bar.
I love it. I love it so much. And talk about how lowering the bar creates a ripple effect of joy.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, after I went to Karen's Christmas party where I heard all those amazing, embarrassing stories, I went to several other parties, and parties are not my forte. I'm an introvert. So I don't like small talk, but I love to connect and I love to go deep. So I was at a party a couple weeks later. I was sitting at this table with these other women. It was actually my sister's Christmas tea, which I do love, and I help her host it. And I told some of those stories, and there was so much laughter. It was like an ab workout. We were all just hooting with laughter. We weren't laughing at these women. We were laughing because we totally relate. And then many of the women at the table told their stories. And I just felt like, I mean, it was just so much fun to me. So that is what I'm talking about with the ripple effect of joy. Then when those women are driving somewhere and they're late and their kids are driving them crazy and they just need a good laugh, maybe they can reach back into their memory banks and pull something out and laugh about it. Furthermore, when something embarrassing happens to them, it just might trigger them to look at it with a more humorous perspective than they had before and tuck that nugget away to share later with someone else. So I just think it's kind of a neat concept of, it really can just sort of change our mindset.
I love it. Well, help us change our mindset right now, because I actually think that many of us feel like, you know, certain things might be inappropriate or they might make people like look at us in a different way or whatever. So help us get over that feeling like there's certain things we just shouldn't say out loud, or help us to share. Like, I'm about to go on your podcast and you asked me a number of questions about things like that. And I have this poop story that is super embarrassing. And now that you're being so vulnerable with me, I'm like, maybe I'll share my poop story on her podcast.
But and you wouldn't be the first poop story, sister.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so here is kind of how I learned to do it. My crash course, in retrospect, no clue at the time, was around a MOPS table when my kids were preschoolers. Are you familiar with MOPS? Monica, do you know what that is?
Mothers
of preschoolers. It's a Christian thing, but it's an international thing. It's not denominational. They meet at churches twice a month. There's a speaker. It's a potluck. There's babysitting for your preschoolers. And it's just a time for mothers of preschoolers to get together. And I was really desiring connection when my kids were young. I was in my 30s. So a lot of my friends had already gone through the phase. And having babies was not as joyful as I thought it was going to be. I'd waited my whole life to have a baby. In fact, that's all I'd ever wanted, was to be a wife and a mom. And this whole medical school thing came up because I was like, oh, well, I guess I need a job. what am I good at? Anyway, so I'm at this MOPS table. I'm in my early 30s. A lot of the moms are a lot younger than I am. And I can sort of see in their eyes that they're maybe a little bit intimidated, or they're kind of tempted to be impressed by me. And I was like, oh, heck no. Do not be impressed by me. Medicine is not who I am. It's just something I did. We all have our things that we did. And it doesn't make me any more special than it makes you. What I want is connection. And I want help. Help. This whole mothering is really hard. So I really wanted to very quickly tear away all those preconceived notions that those women had about me. And so the way I did it was with self-deprecating humor. And at first I almost kind of felt like, what are you doing, Joanne? But it was so much fun. And so we started telling our embarrassing stories, and we started telling our mom fails just around this MOPS table. And I realized the importance of, I just wanted women to see me for who I was in the life that I was living, and not something maybe I had achieved or the fact that I was older or whatever. For instance, we had a purse scavenger hunt, and I won so many points because I had a pair of toddler underwear in my purse. And I'm not going to tell you if they were clean or dirty, but they were in a baggie, and you can conclude for yourself. It hadn't been there that long. And it was like, I didn't die. I talked about how my daughter sometimes has accidents, and I'm not perfect, and potty training wasn't easy, and I didn't die, and nobody shunned me in public. And so I think the more you do it, and I'm not saying to like stand up in the middle of the ballet and blurt out that your daughter pooped her pants. You have to be appropriate with where you choose to do this, but in appropriate circles, I think you just have to find it out by doing it. You share your vulnerability, you share your funny stories, and then you realize people still like you. In fact, they probably feel like they know you a lot better and feel like they can relate to you and want to be around you more because you have shared that story that you perhaps had tucked away. I just think that the way to get over thinking that there are things we just don't say out loud is to say them out loud and watch yourself not die.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. I love that. So I'm thinking about the current situation we're in and just kind of the relevant, I think in our society, we have this whole like Instagram syndrome where, you know, we see only part of what's going on with people. And I think all of a sudden now we have this different situation where we're not able to connect as much in real life. And so our connection with others is going to come online, and we're going to really, like, I'm calling out Instagrammers and influencers, and I'm saying, look, we are all stressed. Like, who knows what's going to happen now? This is unprecedented, this uncharted territory that we're in. And I have friends that they're like beating themselves up because they're not keeping their house clean, and they're not homeschooling, and they're not doing the church things that they're supposed to, and they're not doing all of these things. And I'm like, listen, influencers, anyone, please put out there, you know, what life really looks like. Put out your messy, messy kitchen and the finger paints that are all over the walls and the things that are really happening inside your homes. Like, help us all feel a little bit better about our lives right now. So my question for you is, can you give us some concrete steps towards giving the gift of a lowered bar to each other online, everywhere, so that we can all just feel better about how much we're all really just drowning right now?
Yes, the mom fails abound.
Yes.
And we should show each other. Yeah, so I think the first thing to do is to try to look at your situation with new eyes. And I mean by that try to find the humor in what's happening and what humor you can share with others. Look at your situation and how it might be a gift to others that are feeling like they're missing the mark, and show it. So, and now this is just a situation that occurred a while back, and it's just kind of an illustration of how I think this works. So I went to the UPS store a while back, and I drive this silver SUV that's a, like a totally generic mom mobile. And so I sometimes lose it in a parking lot. I mean, anyway, everyone does that. But so I come out of the UPS store, I open my car door, I start to put my little bottom cheek on the seat, and I realize there's a man in there. I'm practically sitting on his lap, right? And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And then I was like, look, see, I'm not crazy. My car's right there. It's the same make, model, and color as yours. And then I just kind of like run away and get my car and drive away. And I was like a little bit mortified, but very quickly I was amused. And I just kind of tucked that back in the back of my head. And then much more recently, I was at an ice cream shop with my daughter. It was one of those outdoor places where you sit outside and eat your ice cream. But I was waiting in the car, and I was just, because she's hanging out with her friends. And they had just done this play, and it was this whole cast of this play. So this group of kids walks up, and I hear the back door of my car open. And I look back, and it's this kid that I recognize from the play. And he looks at me, and he just gets this horrified look on his face. He is, and I can tell he's like, it's affecting him more than I would think it would, but you know, you're just embarrassed to be alive when you're a teenager. And he was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And he shut the door and he started running away. And I flew out of the driver's seat of my car. I'm like, no, wait, hang on. Don't you dare be embarrassed by that. And I told him my sitting on the man's lap outside the UPS store story. And I could just see the tension fall away from his shoulders. And I, you know, we're not able to deliver this kind of care to each other person to person right now, but I definitely, we are so lucky in this time, by the way, that we have the internet and we can sit here states away from each other, looking each other in the eye and having this conversation. And I think that we have so much technology and we have so much capability to share that we need to be really careful and hold each other really accountable, like you're doing. Not only share the pretty times, to also share the vulnerable times, to also share the messy times. My Instagram handle is I've Got Dishes, because I practically always have dishes. And you know, it would occur to me that if I was going to take a picture of my cute kitchen, that I would shove the pile of dishes just out of the frame. But really, who are we helping in that situation? We're maybe helping ourselves feel a little bit less ashamed of the mess that we are, but that's putting out a false image. And so I'm not saying that you have to take ugly pictures of your ugly selfies and send them around the world, although that is fun. So those are the kinds of tension releases that we need right now. Show each other your vulnerabilities and have fun with it. Nobody's going to laugh at you. They're going to take this sigh of relief and laugh with you, or say, you know what? Me too. I am not homeschooling well, or I'm trying to get my kids to, you know, play a game around the table and all we're doing is arguing. This is not fun like I thought it would be, or whatever, you know, not as a spiral into negativity, but as connection. And one of the survival tactics that I tell young moms when they've come from being professionals and all of a sudden they're home with moms, find someone to complain with, not as, like I said, a spiral into negativity, but like my sister, I give her an earful whenever I need to. She helps me troubleshoot. Sometimes even just saying what's bothering you or what you're struggling with out loud leads to solution. And if it doesn't lead to a solution in your own mind, maybe the person you're talking to about it, or that stranger halfway around the earth, has a solution for you. It's yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm really calling for like, let's just do a redo. Like, let's all show our most vulnerable moments. Cause I honestly think, and I would love for you to talk about this, how do you think laughter is going to get us through this current situation that we're in? Cause I think that everybody just needs to take a step back. I think there's going to be some real pain in the world, actually. I'm very sad about it. I feel okay about me and my family, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of real pain happening. And so I want to be sensitive to people that are experiencing true pain, but at the same time, how can laughter save us?
Oh my gosh. I have heard stories about people sitting in hospital waiting rooms while their child goes through open heart surgery, and you know, the husband will crack a joke and the wife wants to be mad, but then all of a sudden the tension's relieved and they're laughing. And so I feel like you don't have to do one or the other. You don't have to laugh or cry. Sometimes you can do both. And that, you know, when my grandma was in the hospital dying, it was 10 years ago. And my sister and my mom and I have more inside jokes from that time of our life because it was really stressful and we were in it together, but we found those little nuggets to laugh about. My sister and I have this little silly dance that we do that we did for the first time when we were waiting for the elevator at midnight to go home to our children after being in the hospital with my grandma all day. And we were like, this elevator is not coming. And we're like, this is so ridiculous. And so now it's like when we're overwhelmed and we're just frustrated, we have this little shorthand where we just do this little dance together and it's so ridiculous and it always makes us laugh. But it also reminds us of the time when we're losing our grandma. My sister-in-law sent me to the hospital with a to-go coffee cup full of red wine for my mom. And so we kind of laugh about that. And we were sitting in the emergency room with grandma when we were trying to figure out what was going on. And just to give you a quick idea, she was in her 80s, but she was had the best figure in the family. She was working part-time. She was wearing her designer denim. She was not ready. We were not ready to let her go. And then she just declined really rapidly and died. So anyway, when we were in the emergency room trying to figure out what was going on, it was when we really very first started having smartphones. And so we'd be like, hey, I wonder about this or I wonder about that. And my mom would be like, put it in your Google. Put it in your Google, Joanne. Put it in your Google. And one time I was just like, Mom, put it in your Google. And you know, they were so now we always laugh about put it in your Google. And you know, it's kind of like shove it where the sun don't shine, but put it in your Google. So anyway, so I think yes, we need to be sensitive to pain. We are all going to either feel some removed pain just from seeing what's happening in the world. Some of us are gonna lose loved ones or friends, and it's gonna be really, really hard. And I never want laughter to be a cover-up for deep feelings. I love the depth of emotion. I love depth through humor. You know, on Steel Magnolias, where she's somewhat, one of the characters says, laughter through tears is my favorite emotion. I think there's really something to that. And so I feel like the laughter can break the tension. But I definitely am not encouraging people to laugh about things they're not ready to laugh about, because there is pain. And there are times when we just kind of have to back up and lick our wounds. And that's okay too. And that's the time to bring in those people who are really close to you, who can just give you the word of encouragement, kiss you on the top of your head and just sit with you in that time. But I think it behooves us all to, as quickly as we can, try to look at it from a different perspective and find something to laugh about. And again, we're so lucky that we're connected right now. And you know, thank you for bringing that out, because I have never before thought about those funny moments coming from the time when my grandma was in the hospital in that along those lines. Never.
You know, I love listening to you tell that story, because it brought up one of my most absolute cherished memories in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was losing my grandma. She was in hospice and they were kind of pulling the plug and she was just dying. And, you know, my grandpa was there, hadn't been married for 20, 30 years, but he was there. And then, you know, my mom's husband was there and my brother was there. And so it was so funny. We're all kind of standing around her bed, just kind of watching her die. And she looked up and she said, I've never entertained so many men in my bedroom before. And like, it's one of my most cherished memories, because it's like kind of her final words almost. And it was
grandma, I love it so much.
I mean, it was so funny. And that's just how I remember my grandma. It was just this beautiful, we're all in so much pain that we're losing her, and she still made it a lighter situation. And we all just laughed and kind of let her go. And so
I needed that. You needed that tension broken.
Absolutely.
She probably didn't even do it on purpose, but you know, she wasn't trying to, obviously she wasn't trying to erase the solemnity of the moment. She's dying. You guys aren't erasing the fact that she's so important and that your hearts are breaking because you're losing her from your life. But sometimes laughter is that lifeline that you don't know that you need it. And furthermore, we don't know, walking around this world or scrolling around this world right now as we are, you don't know when somebody needs a lifeline. And so I just always try to, like that boy who almost climbed into my car and then I could see him like thinking, I'm going to die. I'm so embarrassed. And I was like, oh no. But sometimes it can be even unintentional, where, you know, you go through a grocery line, she asks you how your day's going, and you're like, oh, I just walked into this really important business meeting with lipstick on my teeth, but I'm good. You know, maybe she was going through something. Maybe she needed to see that other people are having, you know, imperfection in their lives. And you just never know when somebody really, really needs that tiny nugget.
It's so true. I honestly do feel like laughter is the best medicine. And I appreciate so much people with the talent of making everyday mundane situations funny, because I think that is the absolute best talent for me, for sure.
And I'm not a funny person. It's so crazy that I've been put in this position now, because I love to laugh and I think life is hilarious. And I married a really funny guy. Like, he makes me laugh my face off almost every day. But I'm like the straight guy, or what do you call that? You know, the guy that you bounce funny things off of. But I think just because I've started to try to find the humor in situations, it's not, you don't have to be funny. You don't have to come up with the material. Life gives you the material, right? Yeah, you just have to see it from a certain perspective and put it back out there.
Like, I think what you're saying is it's not a personality trait. It's actually a skill. Like, you can learn to find the humor in things. Like,
yes,
it's not something you're either born with or you weren't. It's like,
that's right.
skill. Like you can train yourself to mm-hmm. see the humor in the everyday or in the hard.
I was not the class clown. I would have been much more likely to be voted most likely to succeed and never talk to anybody face to face. I was painfully shy as a child and still pretty painfully shy in high school. And I've had multiple situations where I tried to tell a funny story and it just fell completely flat because I'm not the comedian, you know. I think it's so funny, but then I can't like turn it around and tell the story. But I've always loved kind of quirky humor too. You might be too young to remember Jack Handy on
Saturday Night Live.
Oh my gosh, deep thoughts with Jack Handy. I just laugh thinking about it.
I remember when Saturday Night Live was so funny and it was one of my favorite. I looked forward to it all week long.
Mm-hmm. My college friends and I used to watch it so on the edge of the couch and just have so much fun with that. But yeah, so I definitely think it's a skill. And there's another thing. I think that when something has happened to you that you feel like you might never be ready to laugh about, if you find somebody who is a trusted person in your inner circle, she or he might help you see how to laugh about that. And so I think that is really important to take those situations. Like when I talked about the gal who'd had the fecal incontinence, the first person she told was her husband. Well, they started laughing their heads off because he was able to sort of bridge that gap for her and show her the funny in that. And she knew, she trusted him. She knew he wasn't laughing at her, but he was showing her how to, you know, laugh about it. And they were laughing about it together. So my challenge to you guys out there is to, number one, try to see the humor in things. When you show a foible or when you have an embarrassing moment, just tuck that into the back of your head. Maybe look at it later. Try to see if there's a funny angle on it. And then furthermore, look for opportunities to pull that back out and give it to somebody as a gift. Those two things I think can really change your perspective on hard times and help you find the humor in things. It has completely changed the way I look at the world.
I love it. So let's talk about our current situation of being locked down and quarantined in our homes with our families and how fostering togetherness and building unity and connection through inside jokes and other means of finding humor can really decompress, like help to, I just want to walk around and find all the funny now.
Yeah. You know, I think I encourage you to try to play fun games with your family. That is one way that we have really come up with some inside jokes. There's a game. And of course, if you don't have this at home right now, I'm so sorry because you can't get it from Amazon. But as soon as the restrictions from shipping are up, you need to order this game. It's called Telestrations. It's halfway between Pictionary and the game of telephone. You cannot help but laugh. It is so much fun. There's no skill to it. And you don't even have to play it with winner or loser. But one of the things you could do at home is play charades. Play charades with your family. You will laugh. You cannot help it. It is funny. We are messes. We're bumbling idiots basically. But if we can just, you know, playing charades with each other or watching a funny movie together. My husband and I have so many inside jokes from the movie Tommy Boy, and we could not wait till our kids were old enough to see that. Finally, we're like, screw it. We're showing it to them. We're just going to fast forward the inappropriate scenes because we can't keep this from them any longer. It's such a thing in the culture of our family. And so if you can think about things that have brought you joy, that have brought you laughter, and then bring your kids in on it so that everybody has this unified family culture, I think now's the time because we have time. We're all sitting around at home together. Why not?
I love it. I'm so excited about this actually. So that's in our families, which we're getting really, really close right now. Talk about how we can support our friends from afar. Like, what can we do for our friends to kind of reach out and keep that connection alive, but not see them in person?
I think that the phone conversation might be having a comeback. Yeah, because, you know, I'm ashamed to admit to you that I moved to Montana. It's almost been 2 years now. And there are some girlfriends who are so near and dear to my heart that I have kept in contact. I mean, I know what's going on in their lives and I visited them when I went back to visit, but I don't speak to them on the phone because it's just not kind of my thing. But the other day, when Scott and I were driving home from work together, we talked to his sister on the phone and it just reminded me how much I love her and how much I care about the everyday mundane things that she's doing over there. And so I definitely think we can pick up the phone. We all have time to talk on the phone right now and just shut yourself in your closet and give yourself 10 minutes to talk on the phone. Tell your kids, unless you have a broken bone or a bleeding body part, do not come in here or find your father. find your older sibling. You can, yes. You know, 10, give me 10, just give me 10 minutes. But the other thing is there are things on the internet that people are creating that make me burst forth with laughter. And I don't have the skills to create stuff like that, like funny memes and stuff. I tried it for a while and I'm like, this is not in my skill set. I'm going to just give that up. Retweet those or to put them on your page, or when you find a funny meme, send them out. Maybe tag a few friends who you think would specifically find that funny. Those are all things I think we can do to create connection right now.
I love those. All right. Well, here is my signature question. If you had the undivided attention of every mom in the world for just a few minutes, what is the most important thing you could teach them about lowering the bar, finding the humor, and just connecting?
Yes. The first thing that I would do is I would take her cheeks in my hands, in the palm of my hands, and look her straight in the eye. And I would say, honey, you are not alone. You may sometimes feel like you're alone, but you're never alone. You're never alone. So many other people are going through what you're going through. That's the first thing. The second thing is to remember to really try to find humor in the mundane, because it's there and it'll give you ammunition for later. It's so much fun. And the third thing is look for other women who seem like they feel like you feel, because you don't look like you feel. You look like you look. You look like the face that you're putting on. You know that you feel differently than you look. When you approach other women, approach them as if you know that they feel differently than they look. Sometimes people do wear their hearts on their sleeves. Those are the people who really need us, because their facade is cracking because maybe they're in so much need. Those are the people that you want to focus on, that you want to lay down a truth bomb in front of, or a humor bomb, or whatever you think is appropriate to the situation. And you look her right in the eye and you tell her you're not alone.
I love it. I love it so much. What are you working on right now that you're most excited about? And where can my listeners find you if they want to learn and laugh more?
Awesome. Okay. Well, I am so excited about my podcast, you guys. It's called the Fancy Free Podcast. It's relatively new. I started it in July and I have some super exciting guests coming up, Monica being one of them. So you can find me on fancyfreepodcast.com. That's the podcast website, but it's wherever podcasts are heard. I also have recently designed a line of women's loungewear that I call street legal pajamas, because they look like street clothes, but they feel like pajamas and you can wear them 24/7. And they have just enough of a support and structure that you're not going to scare the UPS guy should the doorbell ring with your headlights, you know, and it just gives you some support and coverage. My shop is called Shelfie Shop. I call them Shelfies because they have shelf bras in them. And I also love the idea of taking your Shelfie selfie and sending that around the world. Like, show yourself in your cozy clothes at home. The inventory is being manufactured right now, so it's not available yet, but you can still go on shelfieshop.com and see what I've got coming. It's Shelfieshoppe, not because I'm fancy, but because SHOP was taken. Yeah. And then my blog is cozyclothesblog.com. And I just write articles real randomly about all different things in life. I have some medical articles right now. There's an article I pretty recently put up, which is what I have in my medicine cabinet that I think you should have in yours too, from coming from a doctor mom. So there's just fun stuff like that. And then on Facebook, you can find me at Shelfie Shop and Fancy Free Podcast. On Instagram, I've got Dishes, Fancy Free Podcast, and Shelfie Shop Cozy Clothes. I'm kind of trying to narrow that. I'm in too many places all at once. I've got to figure this out. I've got to narrow it down somehow, but for awesome. Now I'm everywhere.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Monica. This has been really fun.
Oh my goodness. That was so much fun. I loved sitting down with Joanne Jarrett and hearing about all the fun things she's doing, but mostly I loved her take on lowering the bar for each other, about being able to laugh about our embarrassing moments and our foibles, and being able to give those to each other as a gift. I hope that you will look for those opportunities to share during this time, especially when we all just need a little bit of encouragement and to know that we are not alone in the struggle. The struggle is real, ladies, and let us support and love each other with humor and by lowering the bar for each other. Now, if you liked that podcast, right after we recorded this one, I recorded a completely different interview on her podcast, the Fancy Free Podcast, which is also coming out at the very same time. So you can head over to fancyfreepodcast.com and catch my interview over there. I told several embarrassing moments and we had the funnest conversation ever.
ever. In fact, she titled that episode How to Raise Super Capable Kids. So maybe I said something helpful over there, but I feel like I just told you about all the ways I totally failed as a mom when my kids were younger, but they are all turning out just great. So she probably took some nuggets of wisdom over there. So head over there and check out that interview. It was a lot of fun. I will tell you one of the things that has kept me going during all of this quarantining has been the opportunity to interview some really incredible guests. So I haven't figured out what order I'm going to publish these episodes, but we have some really fantastic episodes lined up for you in the next couple of weeks. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on whichever platform you love to listen on so that you don't miss an episode. I'm probably going to be throwing in some bonuses because I have so many great episodes in the can and ready to go. But I guarantee there's going to be another fantastic episode next week. So until then, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.